The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome one more time to Afternoons with Mike here on the Shepherd Radio Network. Every day, it's my privilege to have a guest and to talk about the things that God is doing in their lives, through them, in ministry, in the different regions where they are in the United States or abroad. Today, I'm bringing a little bit of Cuba and a wonderful gospel story. Martha Avila is with me today. Martha is from now the Miami area, born though in Cuba. I really am looking forward to hearing her share all of the details about growing up and then moving to the United States. She is the leader of a Miami pregnancy center called the Heartbeat of Miami Pregnancy Help Medical Clinics. And we're going to hear the details about this wonderful outreach. Martha, it is wonderful to have you on my program. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's really an honor for me to be able to share with you what the Lord is doing in our area here of South Florida. So thank you for inviting me.
You're certainly welcome. Your story is marvelous. We all have in our hearts here in Central Florida a love for and a constant dedication to the right to life. And we believe in what you're doing, and the clinics that you're operating are really, it's a shared passion. And I would want you to know that we believe and love other outreaches here in Central Florida, like Choices and in Gainesville, Syrah. There are many of these. I know the people who are running them and who work in them. This is a very important work that God has called you to. And I just have to say thank you for the effort that you are making every day of your life to help women who are in a bit of crisis themselves. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mike. And we thank the Lord for that he called us to defend life. And one of the things that tugged at my heart so strongly is that Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. How can we not together help to save the lives of these preborn babies that don't have a voice, that are not able to just even, I mean, it goes to the bottom of the list. This kind of mission goes to the bottom of the list because the baby is unseen. The baby has no voice. But we are here to defend life and to be able to help these moms be able to have these babies and just be next to them in all of their trials and in whatever it is that they're going through. Because a woman with an unplanned pregnancy needs support. Not an abortion. Abortion is never an option. That's not why women were created. We were created to give life and just be able to stand by these women and show them that they're not alone. I'm telling you, that's why over 92% of the women we serve are choosing life for their preborn.
And, you know, when they are coming into clinics that really offer things like ultrasound where they see the baby, or when they're able to hear the heartbeat, that really does greatly change those dynamics of what they're thinking about doing. Because once they hear, once they see, you're right, not over 90% of them choose to go ahead and carry to full term.
Right, because they don't know. Either they don't know or they just want to not know what is really going on with her body. And that's why we call the ultrasound the window to the womb, Mike, because they're able to see that this is not what they've been told, that this is not what they thought. You know, there's actually a beautiful heartbeat. At only 6 weeks, we're able to detect it. We have state-of-the-art 3D, 4D ultrasounds, and they are able to listen to that heartbeat. And, you know, we see a lot of women in the second and third trimester, because here in Miami-Dade County, abortion is available at any stage of pregnancy. But when they see that baby. And so many times after they bring the baby back, it's the same little face that they saw on the 3D, 4D ultrasound. And then they share that with their friends. And it's changing a culture of death into a culture of life. And that's what we're about. That's what the pregnancy clinics in our nation are doing today. And that's why we say that how pregnancy clinics are good for our nation. They're good for our nation. So we are here to render that service and to that mom and that couple, you know, bringing that baby's father into the picture, because so many of these fathers are not even aware of what is truly happening. So many men are pushing their women, their girlfriends or their wives to abort, and then they don't realize also what's going on in that body. That baby is part of them. And so that's why when we have those situations, we welcome the fathers to come in and to see for themselves what is happening and how that precious child, you know, is part of them.
You know, I say many times when I'm talking to people about this, as a pastor of 36 years, when I would do counseling with women that had experienced an abortion, there was never one time that I did that, not once, where everything was fine about what they did, where they felt good about what they did. Every time in 36 years of counseling, every time I witnessed not only regret, but I witnessed deep, deep anguish, tears, always. And this is something that we've just got to see that we're being asked to believe something that is simply not true by these that are putting out. It's not true what they say, that it's only a bit of flesh. It's not alive. They're calling even the baby its. And you know, what's so amazing to me, Martha, is the, what I would consider to be the hypocrisy, because for years, we've also seen law in states where a woman who would be attacked that was pregnant, and if she were to die, there would be not one count against them of murder, but two, because they would be counting the unborn child. And yet, when it comes down to defending those that are choosing this way in abortion clinics, they act like that life that is inside is not alive. And that is just so hypocritical to me.
It really is. And I don't think women are truly being educated. You know, we talk so much about women empowerment and how women need to be empowered. But are women really being empowered when they are not made aware of what is happening or the suffering that they will go through after an abortion? And all of these things that you see, I celebrate my abortion. It is impossible for deep down in her heart for a woman to celebrate her abortion, because her abortion meant that her child died. And this is, you know, when we talk to women that have had abortions, and we know the pain, because of course we also offer abortion, post-abortion recovery to women that have suffered through an abortion. These women are victims, because the majority of them did not know, or they were in a situation where they thought they had no choice, or they were not aware of what was truly going to be happening, or how they were going to be feeding, or, you know, whatever the case may be. We know that these women, that's why we could never, ever be judgmental, because we don't know in what situation they've been. You know, the majority of the volunteers and the employees working at the pregnancy clinics are post-abortive women that know the suffering, and they do not want other women to go through the same pain.
That is so true. And there is great suffering that is going on in this country every day. I think that's something that we all have to just get our brain around. Every time that you wake up in the morning, and before you go to bed that night, countless women across America are going to have their lives forever changed by continuing on through this abortion. And it opens up a suffering that is unimaginable. And that is the heartbeat. I love the name of your ministry, The Heartbeat of Miami, because it should be always recognize that that baby has a heartbeat. That baby inside is alive. And as you said, the ultrasound gives the window to the womb, or said differently,
That's right.
A window to the life that is inside that mom that may be in a sense of crisis. Maybe it was a really unplanned or even an unwanted pregnancy. But that doesn't matter. At the end of the day, now that life is beating and alive. And I'm praying constantly. I don't want to get ahead too much in the story here today, because before our first break, I would love for you to tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know that you were born in Cuba and that your mother is of Mexican descent. Your father is a Cuban. And at age 7, they were able to make the move from Cuba to the United States. Tell us that story.
Correct. It was a very painful story, a story of separation. Because I, leaving everything that you know behind at that age, just packing, not even a suitcase, but just, a little change of clothes. I remember my little brother was just a toddler and having to get his diapers in, and even that taken away, and nothing. We weren't able to bring anything, and the separation of not knowing if we were going to ever be back, and leaving to a different country. That I'm so grateful for this country that took us in and that allowed us to do so much, like so many people from all over the world. But I am so grateful to the United States of America that gave us a country. I am a proud citizen of this country. I consider myself an American. And of course, I will always go to my roots, obviously, because you don't lose that. Mm-hmm. But knowing that I've got the freedom that my parents did this for our freedom. And I will be forever grateful to my dad for making that decision. And coming here immediately, we learned the language and we were able to study and do so much. And, it's funny because I never thought that God would call me to something like this. I was saved at 8 years old, just short after coming here, and my whole family, my parents as well. And I remember just going, I was working in a totally different job line. I was in telecommunications. I had the blessing of working for a global company. And then it tugged at my heart when a pastor, Reverend John Ensor, came to our church, and he had just landed in Miami, and the study was done that revealed that Miami-Dade County was number one in abortions and abortion providers per capita in our country. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. That's huge. And so when he said that, I mean, my heart just stopped beating for a second, because I said, I grew up here. I'm, I was raised to respect life, the sanctity of life. That's how I was raised. My dad and my mom, that's how they had raised me. And, how could it be that right here in my backyard, this is happening? And so I, my pastor, Pastor Ricky, he tells Reverend John, he says, I know someone that would love to speak to you. I mean, she would be a great person to help start this here in Miami. Now, mind you, I had my own job. I had my own life going. And so we meet. I said, Lord, how can I do this? I mean, how can I go into the mission field? Because this is a mission right in our backyard. And how can I go in the mission field and leave everything behind? And, I'm not a spring chicken. I'm 50 years old. How do I do this, right? And the Lord just, I couldn't put it down. So I said, okay, I'm going to volunteer. I'll volunteer. And keep on with my job. I had the luxury of working from home even back then in the year 2000. And I said, okay, so let's go ahead and do this, whatever. Well, this now was 2006 when we started doing the planning of what Heartbeat of Miami was going to be. And we met, Reverend John and I met a wonderful lady, Jeannie Pernia, and the three of us started Heartbeat of Miami, which is an urban initiative of Heartbeat International, who had done that study along with CareNet that revealed that Miami-Dade County was number one in abortions per capita. So together, we started this, and it was amazing because Jeannie owned and operated an abortion business in this area. So when Jeannie started looking for a place where we would open the clinic, the Lord brought her to that same place where she once owned and operated that abortion business. Mm. And that's where our Hialeah clinic is today. It's a powerful story. She even has a book called Conquered. And it was just such a powerful, powerful, powerful testimony that we are in the same location where so many babies died, yet Jeannie has been a part of helping to save so many children now. So it was amazing. Then in 2000, we opened the clinic in 2007, and in 2008, we opened the North Miami Clinic. And during that time, if you recall, we had like economic meltdown in 2009, and we yes. didn't know how we were going to survive this. I mean, this is a new ministry. How do we do this? But, you know, God just saw us faithful. God just saw our heart, and he made a way. Mike, like, even now, we look back, and we just don't even understand how God did it. And here we are in a very difficult position, and our team, you know, I had to lay off everybody. I just couldn't keep it up. And our team, the entire team that worked at these two locations, Mike, at these two clinics, continued to come to work as volunteers. Our entire team, the sonographers, the counselors, you know, the director, we just reported to work every day. Mm-hmm. And we did that for 5 months. And then God opened the windows of heaven and blessings came down, and we were able to pay everyone, and we were able to continue our mission. And then he continued to find us faithful. And in 2015, the Lord gave us another clinic that used to be an abortion business for over 28 years. And that's the Little Havana location. And we were in awe because we didn't know how we were going to do this. And then at one of our galas, one of our donors said to me, because I presented it, and he said, Martha, I'll cover the rent for that location. And that's exactly what happened. And so that was in October. As a matter of fact, yesterday was a year that I signed the lease. They did their last abortion of course, in 2015. They did their last abortion at 12 p.m., Mike, and at 2 p.m. I signed the lease on October 31st, 2015.
I don't think I've ever heard such a story as that, going from an abortion clinic to being a crisis life pregnancy center. It's just amazing. I'm up against a break. Let's pick it up from there in a moment. My guest today is Martha Avila, and I'll be back with her. She leads the Heartbeat of Miami, and it is a wonderful thing that she's a part of. And we'll hear more from her coming up in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're on The Shepherd. On the line with Martha Avila today, and you know, this story that you were saying at the end of segment one, the Little Havana Clinic that you opened in 2015, I'm still trying to get my brain around the marvelous miracle that had to be sensed when an active abortion clinic, literally performing the last abortion just 2 hours earlier than what you signed the lease that changed that whole venue. That is a story that I don't think I've ever heard before. That is amazing.
That it was, and only God could have done something like that. And that was We had to completely renovate the entire things. We have the before and after pictures that would just talk, melt your heart. And just when we saw, when we walked in, just before they took everything away, and we saw what everything we had to do to make it look like, you know, like a life-saving clinic, obviously, it was so horrific. I can't, just thinking about that, it just takes my, you know, it just tugs at my heart and gives me this sadness. But the good news is that we were able to turn that clinic into a life-saving clinic. And we got a whole group of people coming together and just transforming that place. And the way that we did it was with very limited funds. I mean, pregnancy clinics in our nation don't have those funds to be able to just bring professionals to do the work. But God anoints people to do what he calls them to do.
He does.
And I'm telling you, we had kids helping us to paint. We had kids removing cabinets because the Lord said, take everything out. And that's exactly what we did. No, do not leave any of the spoils. He even gave me a Bible reference to do that. And you know, and when he told Saul to do the same, and I was not going to leave anything behind, no matter how good it looked. So we got rid of everything, and God provided for everything, from the cabinets that were in good shape. And I said, but Lord, they're in good shape. And no, he said, take it all, take it all. So I, you know, the Lord gave us a new cabinet. I mean, stuff like that we pretty much gutted the place down. Mm-hmm. And then when we finally opened, we were not able, we signed the lease on October 31st, and we opened the doors on January 18th, 2016. It took us 2 months. And, mm-hmm. you know, the owner of the place, of the property, allowed us to take those 2 months to clean it up. So she didn't charge us for rent until January. But then when we finally opened the doors, Mike, women were coming back that had already experienced an abortion in that place. And they were coming back for their second and third abortion. And they would say to us, did you guys renovate the place? Oh, it looks so different. And when they came in, we were able to rescue that child. And, you know, who else can do something like this but God?
That's
only
right.
God can do miracles like these. And so it was amazing because of all these women that went there. You know, we share the gospel with every mom that walks in through our doors. And, of course, it is up to them to accept the gift of eternal life or not. But it's so awesome to see when they do. And these women in that particular clinic, so many of them were choosing Jesus as well as choosing life.
Wow.
And we just saw God send in a mighty way. And then with that going on, we had a pastor in near a church near our area, in the Kendall area, Pastor Otto, and he said, Martha, we have a missionary home, and we would love to turn that into a clinic. And the home was not close to the church, so in reality, there was like a, you know, it wasn't you. It's not attached to the church. It's a big area, and then there's that home, and we then turned that into a clinic. So no one associates that clinic with a church, and it's right next to a college. So just how God did that, and he was able to give us that house with no monthly rent. So, of course, it's owned by the church,
mm-hmm.
but we don't pay rent for it. So that was a big break, and that was the only reason why we were able to take that property as well.
When did that happen?
That happened right after we opened the Little Havana Clinic. We opened this clinic again by the grace of God.
That is amazing.
By the grace of God, and It really, really, really was. And so we're there. We have been saving lives. You know, over 85% of the women that come to us, Mike, are looking for an abortion or are very vulnerable to abort their child. Mm-hmm. And yet 92% of them choose life. And we see how God's hand is in everything, how he brings them in. We don't advertise. You know, he just brings these women in, and we're able to help them see through their situation and tell them that we're going to be there for them. And we are. We are there for them up to when the baby is 1 year old. We are there for them. And so many women have come through. As of August, look, listen to this. This is just amazing, Mike. As of August of 2021, we have already helped rescue over 55,000 babies.
Oh, my goodness.
Exactly. And through the pandemic, just when we thought, you know, how many places had to close down, Mike, so many people. Imagine, you know, the nonprofits, you know, people weren't working. How were the nonprofits going to make it? Only by the grace of God, we made it. We made it, Mike. We made it through. And we had to close. We had five locations. We had a training center. Our training center was the fifth location. Mm-hmm. And we are very grateful to the Father's Table, who helped us also at the beginning when we first opened, and they helped us open the training center. And at that time, and through the pandemic, that we were not able to have classes. If you recall, mm-hmm. people were doing everything via Zoom.
Yes.
So we thought it wise to close the training center and just, you know, put all of our funds in the four clinics that were operational, because we never shut down, Mike. You know, as soon as there was Miami was hit very hard, if you recall, but we never shut down. We were still seeing women. We were talking to women over the phone. We were available. We were having drive-throughs of women coming through to pick up diapers and formula and baby items, because they had no way, no means. There was no way that they could get, you know, their things. They weren't working. So we were able to help so many moms through that. And instead of food bags, people would give us food, and then we would add the food to the little bags with diapers and so forth. And we just saw God's hand. Mike, people were sending baby items via Amazon. Every day we would receive boxes of diapers and baby items. You know, only God. I mean, how else? How can you explain any of that? Mm-hmm. And we had to go to city officials here to show them that we were essential. We were an essential need in our community, and so they allowed us to open our doors. And at first, it was 25% capacity, then 50% capacity, and as soon as we were able to, we were full capacity, and walk-ins welcome again. And so that we were here, you know, women couldn't even get a doctor's appointment, yet we were here. And so, I mean, the abortion businesses were open, so we mm-hmm. had to be open. And that's how the city officials allowed us to keep our doors open.
I'm so grateful that you were able to do that, that you stayed vibrant, you stayed connected, you stayed active, and contributing to this number of 55,000 babies saved, rescued by this wonderful ministry, the Heartbeat of Miami. It is a great thing that you're doing. And I know that it was recognized not only by those that come to the clinic who are in crisis, but somebody else that was pretty important. In 2019, you got an invitation from then President Donald Trump. Tell us about that.
That was a big, big, big surprise and big experience. You know, they invited me to go to the White House for Hispanic Heritage Month. And when I got there, I had no idea, Mike, that I was going to speak. And when they told me the president would like to take a picture with you, and I mean, there were like 500 people there, and I went, and when I went to take a picture, he says, "Martha Avila, Heartbeat of Miami, you're going to speak tonight, and you're going to speak from your heart." That's exactly what he said.
Oh,
now,
my goodness.
Can you imagine me? I mean, I had no notes. I had nothing. And I said, I am? He says, yes, you are. And so, I mean, and he just said it like that. And I go, okay, so what now? I have no notes, nothing. And he says, from your heart. And so that's exactly what happened. Nobody saw or knew what I was going to say because I spoke from my heart. I had no notes, nothing.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So at that time, it was an amazing experience. It's on YouTube. Fox put it, Braveheart put it up. But it was just the fact that someone as important as the president really cared about what was happening here in Miami-Dade County.
Mm-hmm.
And that meant a lot to me. That meant a lot to me because I had a platform to be able to say that even though we're a minority, one out of two African-American pregnancies ends up in abortion, and one out of three Hispanic pregnancies ends up in abortion. And I was able to say that, and I was able to say how important pregnancy clinics are for our nation. I was able to say all that. And
It really makes a difference right now, doesn't it, as to where you are? I mean, what you're experiencing in Florida is a lot different than what a lot of other clinics are really facing and having to deal with in other states. Right now, it makes a big difference to be in a state that is kind of being run the way that Governor DeSantis is running this state, right?
Correct. And one of the things that also we need to take to account is that we're a port. Mike, we're a port. So women come from all over mm-hmm. to have abortions here in Miami-Dade. You know, and they are miraculously coming. Many come to us and we're able to help them. And it's awesome to see how they leave with a baby in the womb and Jesus in their heart.
Oh, that
you know,
is
it is just amazing how God does that.
Now, there's a phrase right there that I could see you using if you're not already.
I use that all the time.
Oh, I love that. They leave with the baby in the womb and Jesus in the heart. That is tremendous. And speaking of having a heart, you have a heart for family as well. Tell us a little bit about the story of your own marriage and your own children, your family, and even an adoption. Tell us that.
Yes, we had the blessing, Mike. Our children were grown up. They're, you know, married with their own children. And then we had a young mom that came from Honduras. And she was pregnant, and sadly, not the way that we should be pregnant, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure,
it was
unmarried,
very
right.
Horrible. No, not only unmarried, she was abused.
And, oh, okay.
And her mom sent her to the United States, and through the means of, you know, a coyote, and she crossed countries, and then she went to Monterey, and from Monterey she crossed to Laredo, and that's when they found out she was 8 weeks pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it so happens that during that time they assigned a social worker to her, and then an aunt of hers weeks later claimed her, and then she came to Miami, so they brought her to our clinic. And to God's glory, that baby, when our sonographer did the ultrasound, it was a 16-week-old baby girl.
Mm-hmm.
And that mom's heart, she was only 17. She was 16 when that happened to her, and she was 17 when she came to our clinic. And our sonographer befriended her because she happened to be from Honduras, and invited her to the parenting classes, and she would go pick her up and bring her. Then she invited her to church where I met, you know, where I had more connection with her because we both went to the same church. And when I saw her so alone and so her aunt really didn't want her there. And, you know, I saw her so alone, and I had the opportunity to talk to the social worker. And one day the social worker, you know, just, she kind of like, I found favor in her eyes. Jessie, who is this young girl, said one day to me, "Why wouldn't you adopt me?" She just said it like that in such a way. So I talked to the social worker, talked to my board of directors, talked to my pastor, talked to my children. You know, and my husband and I were on the same page. And it so happens that the social worker said, it would be an international adoption. That's a lot of money. But instead of her being a ward of the state, she could definitely be your ward. And so that's what took place. Mm-hmm. She became our ward. We brought her to our home with the baby. By that time, the baby had been born. We brought her to our home, and that's my sixth child.
Oh, my goodness.
And so now she got married to a wonderful man. Our pastor married her, and my husband walked her down the aisle. And to God's glory, a whole life changed. And, you know, her husband, my son-in-law, adopted Dulcita, the little girl. And mm-hmm. and now they have two other little girls. And it was such a beautiful story, Mike, how God, you know, when she always says, "You were such a blessing. You were such a blessing to me." I said, "Jesse, you are our blessing," because we saw what God could have, what could have happened with her and what God did with her. You know, she would have aborted. I would have never. This would have been such a terrible story, right? She would have not been the woman she is today.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God allowed her to, you know, she was obedient to God, and God honored that. God honored that from her. And today she is such a happy, wonderful, wonderful woman. You know, she's a beautiful mother and wife and strong woman of God. And just how the Lord did that, that was just amazing. And my family, totally, I mean, she's like the baby of the family, and her children are the babies of our grandchildren. So obviously, you know, God did it. It was full circle.
That's great. We're up against a break. I'm going to be back with her one more time. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. We are back on the line today. One more segment with Martha Avila. And Martha is the leader of the Heartbeat of Miami. And what an amazing story we've heard. Four clinics that have been opened up since the year 2007. They have four fully operational clinics. They survived the pandemic to the glory of God. Thank you so much, Lord. And 55,000 babies being rescued through this wonderful ministry that the Lord has put upon Martha's heart to oversee, and it's just doing a marvelous work. If you missed it earlier, she told us that President Donald Trump invited her to the White House in 2019, and to her great surprise, she was going to get to address the crowd, and you said about 500 people invited to the White House. And you shared from your heart. And Martha, I thank you for sharing from your heart with us today as well. And I have a question. Speaking from your heart, what do you find right now in this? You've done this now all of these years, the clinic having been open since 2007. What do you find the most difficult thing to do about what you're doing?
The most difficult thing here, Mike, is raising the funds to keep the clinics open. I don't ask the Lord how he does it. He does. He comes up with the provision for us to continue this mission. And I have seen his hand, not only through the pandemic, but through the, like we were sharing earlier, to the economic meltdown where our staff, none of us got paid for 5 months. We just became volunteers, but we continued with our doors open. At that time, we had two fully equipped clinics.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we work with volunteers, Mike, but volunteers, you can't depend for them to show up to work every day. You know, at that time, we were all volunteers, but we showed up to work every day, Monday through Saturday. Every day, we were here with our doors open. But now, I see how God has provided. God has helped us, you know, through the state fund of Florida a pregnancy support program. We are blessed to have that, where we can offer women's wellness to those women that have a negative pregnancy test, as well as the pregnancy test for those that are pregnant. You know, we have that. But, you know, if the heart of the people were touched, where they could see that we need to, if we provide everything for free, Mike, to these women, you know, we talk about the 55,000 babies, but look at all the moms and the dads that are behind those 55,000 babies that have been rescued from abortion. You know, these women needed the support. They do for a whole year. We're there for them. Whatever it is that they need, these moms go to parenting classes. They get what it's called earn while you learn. They get baby items. We provide for them all these things. You know, every time we have to obviously pay for our sonographers. See, our staff, they work for, they could be making lots of money somewhere else, but they're here because they have a passion and a mission, you know, to please God and to work for the Lord. They have answered God's call of Proverbs 24:11, rescue those that are being taken away to death, hold back those that are stumbling to the slaughter. And we always talk about the 11, but then 12 says, you cannot say that you did not know this, because he who knows your heart knows that you knew. So what about, that's the part that goes to those people that what are you doing about it? What are they doing? You know, we are not the ones that save lives. Actually, he saves the lives, but he uses us. Us, we're here in the front line, but he also uses those people that have the means that perhaps can help a pregnancy. It doesn't, a pregnancy clinic, it doesn't matter the amount, any amount. Any amount will do. You know, it's that monthly help that allows us to budget ourselves to be able to continue. Well, there's a need here. Lord, you know, like right now we're praying to be able to open a clinic in Homestead, because from Flagler to Homestead is a long haul, long way. But, you know, the bottom line is that there's nothing like us in the Homestead area. Yet, there are a lot of abortion businesses in that area. You know, get going after those that have the need. You know, please understand, this is a business. You know, that the abortion business is a very lucrative business in the shedding of innocent blood. It is what it is. We need to call it as it is.
It
and
is.
There's nothing, no help. Sometimes we have to Uber these moms from Homestead over to our Kendall location, which is the closest one. And so through all of this that I'm saying, how else are we going to do it if it's not through the support of people that serve God, that love God, and must love what God, the sacrifice of Jesus on that cross, that did it for us to save our lives? How can we look at this happening? You know, I always think of, you know, the blood of Abel crying from the ground, and we are allowing that. And that's why that's why abortion is such a lucrative business. That's why there's over 65 million babies that have been massacred in abortion. So where do we start? Well, you know what? Abortion ends one woman at a time at these pregnancy health medical clinics through all our nation. Support the pregnancy clinics. They need the support of people like you and me, because that call of Proverbs 24:11, it wasn't made to the government, Mike. It was made to the people of God. And as the people of God, we need to come together. This is a mission that sadly goes under all the other missions. But to God's eyes, it's the one at the top, because he always spoke about the children. Always defended the most innocent form of life. Always curse the shedding of innocent blood. Yet we, because as the people of God, sadly, we don't put this in the top. We put it in the bottom. And that's what we're experiencing here in our area. You know, and I'm talking now to pastors and churches and leaders. You know, we need to come together and help the pregnancy clinics that are around us that need the support. And if anyone is listening that has the means, please help support these clinics that are saving so many lives of the most innocent, the most innocent life,
right,
which is the preborn babies.
You know, in the beginning,
you know, another thing that.
Go ahead.
I'm
that's
sorry,
fine.
Mike. I was going to mention one of the other things that we are doing here in our clinic is the abortion pill reversal. You know, a woman takes that abortion pill that is just being given to them, you know, and we are here. They repent from taking the pill, and many pregnancy clinics right now have the means to be able to reverse through our medical director, reverse that pill with progesterone.
Wow.
It's a quote, the abortion pill reversal protocol. So even then, God is giving us a way of escape. Isn't it worth it to help support this type of work that is so needed right now, because women are being misinformed, women are being misled, women are not being educated or empowered for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it happens, it's too late.
Yeah, once they follow through in this, then they're left with that lifetime of regret.
Right. That's why that movie Unplanned was such an eye-opener. And you would think that more people would become pro-life or, you know, defending life, if you will, after having the opportunity to see that. Because that's exactly what that movie revealed. That's exactly what happens with the abortion pill. Right. But the moms are not, these women are not being informed of that. So this is an opportunity to come together. And you know, I always say, God has given us all the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. Let's put it together to help these pregnancy clinics that, trust me, these are the missionaries of your backyard. This is the mission right here. You know, my father always used to say that you cannot be the light of the world and darkness in your home. You've got to, you know, you can't do that. You've got to be also, and I love missions all over the world. I'm part of that. But, you know, we have to start right here at home in our backyard, because that could be your niece, your cousin, your daughter, your granddaughter. You know, it could be anyone. That's why, I mean, one out of four pregnancies ends up in an abortion. I'm sorry, one out of four women has had an abortion, at mm-hmm. least one abortion.
Right.
One.
Wow. Have you written a book yet?
When we go to church, look around. No, I haven't written a book.
I think you should write one. You are just a walking proverb. You've got so many great expressions. I've loved what you've shared with us today. When you look over look ahead, I should say, to the next year, 2022, Lord willing, this pandemic is fading away, and 2022, we pray, will be better. What are you seeing happen with... there's an election coming up, and we know that the kind of support that you've mentioned that is needed for the pro-life side, that the other side, the abortion side, gets lots of support from, amazingly, from our own federal government, and protection through things like Planned Parenthood, which admittedly now they even come out and talk about the fact that abortion is a big, big part. And that's what we also learned through the movie Unplanned and Abby Johnson's story. But when you look ahead with all of the changes that are going on politically, what are you seeing happen in the next couple of years on this front?
Well, I believe that pregnancy clinics such as ours will always be needed in our nation, because women they're still going to need support. They're still going to need someone to stand with them, to help them, to encourage them, to support them, to, and I'm not talking about only material support. I'm talking about moral support.
Mm-hmm.
And that is biblical. The older women need to do this with the younger women. That is a biblical fact, and we are a faith-based organization. So most definitely, this is what we need to come alongside. This is neighbors helping neighbors. I mean, wasn't that the way it used to be back in the days?
It was.
Wasn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It was like back in the days when perhaps they weren't called organizations as they're called now, but it was just neighbors helping neighbors. You know, there was a new mom in the block and everybody came together to help her out. This is what it is about. This is what we will always be. So we're always going to be needed. And if I pray that the heartbeat bill does pass in our state, I believe that that would be tremendous, like just like it happened in Texas. But you know, they're gonna need us. They're gonna need to see that baby on that ultrasound. They're going to realize, you know, because when they talk about back alley abortions, you know what? If women are informed, that won't take place. Mm-hmm. Because if 92% of the women that we have helped have chosen life, not having to do a back alley abortion, then that totally means that women, once they're informed, they will still be choosing life.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't, you know, if now they could get it in a doctor's office or in Planned Parenthood or any abortion business, and they still choose life, 92%, well, you know what? 100% will be choosing life. If that was the case. So I don't believe that about a back alley abortion. That's never going to happen. It's not.
Well, I tell you, there's a move underway by heartbeathero.org. You can learn all about it. Friends, if you haven't yet heard, there's a drive led by a man in the Gainesville area named Mark Mink, and it's heartbeathero.org.
Yes.
And I'm thrilled to see what this man is trying to put together. And if successful, this will put this on the ballot for next year. And we could see what you're talking about. But we need people to sign that petition as well. So that's heartbeathero.org. Real quick, give us your website, if you will.
Yes, Mike. Our website is heartbeatofmiami.org. heartbeatofmiami.org. And I please just follow us on Facebook, Heartbeat of Miami. We're on Instagram, all of it, Heartbeat of Miami, Heartbeat of Miami Pregnancy Health Medical Clinics. And, you know, follow us. All of the babies that you see there are our babies. Those are our moms. These are bold moms that are willing to share their testimony, their story, so that other moms will be able to find help. That's amazing. You know, when you have a mom that is willing to share that she was going to abort her baby and how we came to help her and how she got here by the grace of God. And when you hear that, you realize how grateful they are to God and to the people that God used to help them out so that another woman will not make the mistake that she was about to make.
That's right.
When you hear women that have had an abortion stand up, like Jeannie Pernia, you know, who is our co-founder as well, that are willing to stand up and say, I owned an abortion business. I had an abortion in that same place where now you're sitting here.
Right.
You know, I did that. But let me show you how horrible that was for me and what you will be going through and how these women choose life for their baby. It's hard to share that. It's hard to share that you've done this, but guess what? Our Redeemer lives, and that is why we're able to share that, because we have been redeemed.
And on that one, we're going to have to end this. I've really enjoyed it. Martha Avila, thank you so much for being with me today on the program. We pray the best for Heartbeat of Miami and for all of the other clinics that are around the state of Florida. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing. Martha, thank you. Friends, we'll see you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.